When will they stop?
Well, Macy Gray, what's the verdict, Crowder? Baby making music, yes or no?
The beat is there, but I don't know if I can make no love to Macy's voice.
She's got that raspy voice.
Yeah, I don't know. That might not keep me going.
What? You just said when you hear Michael's voice of Boys to Men, that gets you in the mood. So you're saying, hold on.
Let me get this right.
You're saying you hear a man's voice and it gets you in the mood, but you hear Macy Gray, a female's voice, and it doesn't get you in the mood.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, Barry White's voice gets everybody in the mood.
But her voice sounds like a Fraggle Rock, though. Let's be honest now. We say keep it real nowadays. Let's keep it real. It's not a beautiful voice that Macy has.
All right, maybe we can get a verdict here from Dean Thomas, who joins us now. He's the co-star of Dana White Looking for a Fight. He's a 9-time UFC veteran. So this is a real man we have on the line.
Yes.
Here. He's an MMA coach at American Top Team, radio star in West Palm Beach as well. Dean Thomas, Macy Gray, baby making music, yes or no?
Hello?
Hey. Now, I know I didn't screw up the phone line that time. Dean?
What's going on, man? I don't know why I'm kind of going in and out. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you fine. So hopefully this is not a bad sign for the connection. All right, so let me get right into let me get right into this then. So we have UFC 244 coming up this Saturday. Are you going to be at Madison Square Garden for the fight? Because I never know when you're cornering for guys or not. Where will you be watching the fight from?
But for whatever reason, I decided not.
Yeah, I think this phone connection is going to be a problem. Woo!
Get him back up, Solana.
Yeah, let me try to fix the line here.
We'll see if Solana's going to sort that out.
So for I'll be honest. For guys like me, what's going on? This fight is huge. I know the Diaz brothers are crazy. Masvidal, he's from down here. I've heard all about it. Heard you talking about it. It's a big fight.
I mean, with George Masvidal, it's like he just really started to hit his stride fame-wise within the last year. But this guy, like, he's been doing his thing, living his life. The personality's been the same for the last 7 or 8 years. Now, he's been fighting in different places. Like, he was fighting in Strikeforce for a while in Japan before he got over to the UFC. But he's been in the UFC now, I think, for at least 4 or 5 years doing it. I don't know why it took so long for people to realize what a gem this guy is, from the sound bites, the honesty. And that, to me, Crowder, it's what I love so much about both George Masvidal and Nate Diaz. Completely authentic. Like, these guys are not putting on a show, because even Conor McGregor does some of that with putting on the show. These guys are completely authentic. Sorry, I think we have Dean Thomas back. So Dean, you're not going to be at Madison Square Garden for this one. But now, I am of the mind that, and I know that Miami's going to hate to hear this, but I think Nate Diaz is going to win the fight, because I think Masvidal, who's more explosive and probably more powerful, will be looking to put him away. But Diaz has got the durability and the cardio. Who do you expect to come out on top in this one?
I expect Masvidal to come out on top. First off, I'm never going to go against the South Florida boy ever.
Okay.
So in terms of this, especially a guy like Masvidal, because he's representing South Florida so well here. But in terms of skill set, I think Masvidal just possesses the skill set to actually, if not put Nate Diaz away, at least put a beating on him for 5 rounds. Now, we've never really seen Masvidal get tired. I don't see why now would be the first time we've ever seen him get tired. Although Nate Diaz does have a way of putting pressure on people to where they do get tired. But I think Masvidal is going to be too quick for him, too savvy, and just keep touching him up until he puts him away.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting take. And what would this do for Masvidal? Because I was just talking, Dean, with Crowder that, you know, a lot of South Floridians have been aware of Masvidal for a while, but really within the last year is when he's really gone viral and become famous. I think the knockout of Ben Askren with the knee is what really put him on the map. But a win over Nate Diaz in a card that's become this high profile, what would that do for Masvidal's stardom?
Well, you're right about one thing, is that, you know, if you came around in South Florida the way we have, Masvidal for the last 15 years has been stellar, and he's always represented South Florida. He just never really was put on the map. And it was that time period last year where he knocked out Darren Till, then beat up Leon Edwards backstage, and then knocked out Ben Askren in 6 seconds. It really put him on the map. But I think this win over him now will actually make him a household name, because I still don't believe that he is – gotten the proper due that he deserves. But I think a win over Nate Diaz, especially in the fashion that I expect him to do it in, will make him a household name. And I think it'll also put him in a position to where Conor McGregor has to take him serious and want that fight.
And Dean, I'm not a huge, you know, MMA, UFC guy. You know, Dono's probably my in on all the information about it. But as I look at it, man, you know, I watch NFL, watch NBA. It seems like the older you can fight longer, or you can get famous at 30 in UFC, where in other sports you're always 21, 22. Why can a 30-year-old get, you know, hit his stride at 31? Where if you're 31 in NFL or NBA, you're over the hill.
Well, the thing is, like, with fighting, is it is such a cerebral game as well. And not to say that other sports aren't, but, you know, other sports require a team and for you to do a job and, you know, and it has to make that connection like that. But in terms of fighting, especially with the heavier weights, you can get – like, most heavyweights don't really turn up until after, like, 33. You know, in Masvidal's case, he's, what, 35 now, and he's, you know, he's finally hitting his stride because, you know, there's just something about it, like, you know, it's a little bit more cerebral, and plus it's a lot of ways you can win. So you can still be older and still be able to pull off a victory that you need.
Well, and Dean, another thing is that in mixed martial arts, it's different even from boxing in that Masvidal and Nate Diaz are two of the biggest stars in that sport. And both guys have double-digit losses. Like, if these were boxers, they would be lower-card guys. Like, they would be irrelevant. And yet, in mixed martial arts, you can have 10, 11 losses and be one of the biggest stars in that sport. Why is that?
And I think that says a lot about our society. And I think that's just where we've come to in our society, is that now, you know, you don't have to be perfect. And I think in our society, people are respecting the fact that these guys have losses and can still come back, because now one thing that's relatable that most people want is to have courage and to be entertaining. And when you fight like Masvidal and Nate Diaz and you show courage and you show heart and you're entertaining, I think that supersedes the idea of being perfect.
Now, you're a coach at American Top Team. You fought out of American Top Team when you were a pro, so I'm sure you've been in the gym and worked out with and around George Masvidal before. What are some of the things you see from him in training that people may not even know about the guy, things that make him special?
Well, people don't realize how well he boxes. Like, he could turn professional. Well, maybe not now, but there was a time where he could have been a professional boxer and had a lot of success. I mean, he's a slick boxer, but he's always gotten better with other things, like his kicks and his wrestling has gotten better. And he's such a gamer, which is, you know, Game Bread is his nickname. He's such a gamer. But I don't think people realize how well he boxes, because you look at a guy like Nate Diaz, like, you might see him. You might look at him as a boxer, but he's a pressure fighter. He's not the greatest boxer. He's a pressure fighter. He's got a good chin. He'll throw a lot of pity-pat punches to wear you down, and then he'll put the pressure on you. But a guy like George Masvidal is a great boxer. He's got a great jab, great movement, great head movement, and I don't think a lot of people realize how good he does that.
Man, what about Diaz? Because you know that I'm really, really high on both the Diaz brothers. High kind of sounds like a pun because the two of those guys are high all the time. But is he maybe up until recently one of the more underappreciated talents? Because I talked about Masvidal just really hitting his stride with his fame recently. And for Diaz, it was 3 or 4 years ago when he started getting locked up with Conor McGregor. Because before that, Dana White talked about the guy not even being a needle mover in that sport. So do you think people have really come around on Diaz as well?
Yeah, but, you know, one thing you got to realize is that a lot of this that we do is just perception. I mean, you're right. Before the Conor McGregor era for Nate Diaz, he was a journeyman. He was in the shadow of his brother Nick. Nick was always the popular one. And Nate was just kind of the guy who would win a few. Then he went up to 170, got tossed around a little bit. He'd lose a few, win a few, lose a few. It wasn't until he beat Conor McGregor that everybody said, oh, my God, this guy's for real. But we knew he was always still good. But at the same time, you know, I believe that he deserves what he's getting now just based on, you know, what he's done for the sport, not necessarily how good he is as a fighter. He's a good fighter, but he's not a great fighter. He's not a Hall of Fame type of fighter. He's a good fighter. He puts a lot of pressure on people. He can win fights. But, you know, he's still, in terms of, like, if this was boxing, he would be a journeyman. That's just the way it is. But, again, this is a different sport. We appreciate entertainment, and we appreciate courage, and that's what he brings to the table.
And Dean, as a trainer, you're talking about that coverage and that entertainment factor of, you know, of mixed martial arts. I know you have to get guys ready to, you know, to fight on the ground, to box, all the different in the octagon stuff. Do you ever have to teach guys how to have a personality? Like, teach guys how to sell a fight? Do you ever have to go through that?
I do sometimes. Actually, I do. And they don't like it because most fighters are introverted and awkward. They grew up like being bullied. So, you know, they use fighting as their outlet to express themselves. So when it's time to really express themselves, a lot of them overdo it, which is why we see guys like Colby Covington, because they're overcompensating for not being completely comfortable in front of a camera. Now, I've had, like, there was a time where I wanted to, you know, produce some sort of class, because I do a lot of improv, so I wanted to produce a class to help them get in touch with that side of themselves, so where they're more comfortable, they're more confident, and they don't have to overcompensate and start yelling to be heard. They can just be comfortable and confident, and, you know, and I think people will relate to that. The confidence of people, they will relate to that. So every so often I have to touch into my guys and say, hey, man, listen, you need to say this, you need to say that, don't say this and don't say that.
Dean Thomas, you can follow this man on Twitter at Dean Thomas. That's spelled D-I-N Thomas. He's co-star of Dana White, Looking for a Fight, former UFC fighter, MMA coach at American Top Team. I appreciate the insight. So how about that? So, Dean, you've got Masvidal over Nate Diaz. You like it by decision or stoppage?
You know, every time I say stoppage, it always goes to a decision. So I'm going to think that Masvidal just actually beats him up pretty bad for five rounds.
Fair enough.
And win the decision.
Enjoy the fights this weekend, my friend.
All right, you guys. I'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah, and that was a good question you asked him about kind of training guys to be on camera, because it's a massive thing in combat sports, because the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the grease. It's the guys like Chael Sonnen back in the day when he talked himself into fights with Anderson Silva that he probably wouldn't have gotten had he not talked his way into it. Colby Covington has talked his way into fights over the last couple of years, you know, for better or for worse, because sometimes people don't like when you go full clown. I mean, Conor McGregor, how can I forget him? He's talked himself to fights and title fights. So some people may not like how
hundreds
far these guys
millions.
Go. Oh,
yeah.
My God. But, you know, the guys who've made the big money, a lot of the guys in boxing and mixed martial arts who have made the big money are the ones that not only can go out there and win fights, but can talk themselves into fights.
That's the weird part, Donald, too. That's why I'm going to ask you, because, like, you can be Kawhi Leonard. You can be an MVP of the sport and still be quiet. You can be, you know, there's NFL. There's a bunch of good guys that just do their job, just get quiet. I don't hear DeAndre Hopkins talk that much. He's the best receiver in the NFL, in my Julio Jones doesn't speak. You
Which
see
is
what
also, and that's rare for wide receiver, because usually you think of the guys like Ocho Cinco and T.O. who used to talk a ton.
And so you can be a quiet star in other sports. And mixed martial arts, and UFC, Bellator, Strike, there's so many now. You have to sell yourself. So like Dean was just saying, the quiet dude, the dude that started fighting because he was getting bullied his whole life. But now, you know, I got a little weight on me. Now I can whoop some ass.
Well, I mean, listen,
now he has to manifest this Hulk Hogan inside of him. That has to be tough for fighters to talk trash when it's not in him.
Well, when you were with the Dolphins, what really made me appreciate you as a human being was when you started talking funny things in the locker room, when you had the whole London bit. Like, that's when I said, okay, this Channing Crowder's an entertaining guy. Like, I should have known you'd have a future in radio.
It's the difference between me and Ronnie Brown, to be honest. And
Ronnie,
and now I'm removed. I can be honest. Ronnie was a better football player than me. He went to the Pro Bowl, you know what I'm saying, led the NFL in rushing before he hurt his knee and all that stuff.
Yep.
But Ronnie wouldn't talk. Ronnie, and he has a great personality. He's a good friend of mine. We're tight. Kids play. But he wouldn't do that in front of the world where I would, and it got me the same fame as Ronnie, even with Ronnie's on-the-field success. And, you know, it was easy for me, but I could see how even a Ronnie, like if Ronnie had to sell a fight or sell a game to the world, that's not him. Like, he's more of an introvert. Like, there's introverted fighters that aren't going to make the money they should make, because you don't make money being an introvert.
Yeah, the
in
introverted fighters are making $60,000 a year, and then Conor McGregor's making $100 million.
Talk to self, and how much you make for Mayweather? 300?
I think that's what Mayweather made. I think he made probably around 100.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I could talk better than both of those guys. Just got to learn how to do a flying scissor kick.
Who were some of the best talkers you played with?
Man, that's a good question. I wouldn't shut up long enough to listen.
A guy I remember from your era who was a good talker. Some fans may not even remember he was an offensive lineman. Rex Hadnot.
Rex was good.
Rex was a good talker.
Rex started a lot of fights. Peasy would get into it.
I was afraid of Joey Porter.
Sam Madison would talk a lot, but not to the whole team. Like Joey would cuss out everybody he saw, but Sam would pick one receiver and just get on them all game and call them all kind of derogatory terms. But, yeah, mostly DBs. A lot of guys in the trenches ain't going to say much.
Yeah.
In the trenches, you just – you're always close to a guy hitting you in the knee. You usually get quiet. I was too dumb to understand that early, and I just had to keep the trash talk rolling. But, yeah, usually DBs would talk a lot of trash.
I remember when I was back in your day, I was like a 22, 23-year-old, like either intern or like new employee covering practices in the Dolphins locker room. I was scared to death of Joey Porter. Like, because I knew Peasy, as you call him. Yeah. I didn't call him that. If you asked that guy a question he didn't like, I would be worried for my safety. And nobody liked the questions I asked. They were terrible. So I was worried about my own safety there.
We were tight. We would fly, and Porter, and we wouldn't fly in a private jet. It was Porter's private jet, let's be honest. I just jumped on because 12 people
were allowed. You got to fly? I don't know anybody with a private jet, so you've already won up me.
Well, he was on one of those fly share thing. Anyway, I got to get on a damn private jet, Dono. And as you're sitting there with Joey, even on a private jet for 12 people, like the ones where you can reach up and touch the pilot, you can't sleep around Joey Porter because he's always on edge. Like, he's always ready to fight. He's always ready to go. Yeah. Like, you just feel like if one person says something wrong, he's going to just start punching people in the face. So, yeah, I would always go to my own room. Like, me and Joey had a room, time to share a room. Nah, Peasy, I'll buy my own room, big dog. I don't want to sleep around you. He was high strung.
Oh, my God, I can see that.
Yeah, like, you know, like the pit bulls. You know how they just, you know, you're always, even when you're petting him and joking, if he gets mad, he's going to do damage. That's how you have to treat Joey Porter. If he gets mad, he's going to do damage around here.